Where motoring starts. This is Behind the Wheel.
Jimmy, lovely to catch up with you, and I'm sort of stunned at the amount of or the things that you can create out of nothing. How do you do it?
That's a good question. I'll tell you what, it's a lot of head scratching and opening your eyes to what's out there in the world and looking for inspiration. You know what, there's so many amazing engineers and people in their back gardens, garages, doing things out there. So I like to take a little bit of inspiration from what they're doing, push it that little bit further if I can.
Have we kind of, as a society, do you think, lost our mechanical ability? I mean, so many of our things that we buy today, we use them and then we throw them away. And shows like yours, do you think, kind of taps into that, I guess what you'd say is that, you know, that biological, especially for men, it's sort of inbuilt in us to build things and tinker with things, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of my goals is to inspire a new generation to get out there, get dirty, take things apart, break things, and hopefully at the end of it all, put things back together and build something incredible. I think we are becoming a throwaway society, and I think it's important that sometimes we go back, look at our past a little bit. You know, I would be happy to live in the 1950s and 60s and some of the incredible things they did then. But I think it is important to go out there and get dirty and you know, try these things for ourselves and sometimes, you know, throw away the handheld gadgets.
How did it all start for you, Jimmy?
Difficult one to answer because, you know, I was probably before the time I can remember, but I can just remember as a young boy playing with toys and getting frustrated when I broke them. And then it sort of occurred to me at a very early age that if someone had built it, then surely I could fix it. And right back then, all I had was string and sort of sticky tape to fix them with. But that kind of gradually progressed until I was able to start putting things back together, sometimes better than when I took them apart. And it went on from there.
You mentioned earlier the term break things. There has to be a degree of things not working out to learn how to make things work. You've got to break it to fix it, don't you?
Absolutely. It's all about me. I go on about education quite a lot. And education, we grew up in an education society that rewards us for success. You know what? I think it should also reward us for failure. Because if we're failing, that means we're trying things new. And eventually, if we keep trying things new, we'll come up with new creations and better things. So I think to go out there, get things wrong, make mistakes, and to learn that when you do that, you get back up on your feet, you get back out in your workshop the next day, and you go again, you will eventually succeed. So failure is the most important thing if you want to get there with engineering.
Yeah, well, I think that's the case with so many things. I really like that perspective, and I think you're absolutely 100% right. Your resume, Jimmy, must be about 18 pages long. You've done a bit of everything, haven't you?
Yeah, you know what? Ants in your pants, don't sit still. You know, just keep doing it, getting out there. If you ever think I'd like to try that, just that's the thought. How the thought. Next day, get out there and try it. Do it. Get involved. You know, what an amazing world. I'm sat here in England, talking on rainy winter's day, talking to you in Australia. You know, the world is an incredible place. It's a small place right now. And not to get out there and enjoy as much of it as you can, you know, it's criminal. So, you know, everyone take as much opportunity. And you know what? Say hi to someone tomorrow because, you know, people are great.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And look, everything that you do in life, you learn from, and it's all an adventure. And some would say, and you know, just steering into one of your experiences, your deployment to Iraq. I mean, you would think that would be, I mean, it would be a life changing event. But I'm sure that even from that, and some of the things that you would have seen and experienced, there are positives that come from it, aren't there?
Always positive. I'm a big believer. You know, I've worked with the British Army in Iraq and Afghanistan, and those are some pretty harsh environments. But those places, I've always taken positives from. And you know what? I've also always seen people, soldiers, service people, doing positive things to better those environments and better the lives of the people in those countries. Those experiences, you know, they've helped me also. And you know, my latest thing I'm doing is this program Engineering, where I'm pushing things to the limit, and I suppose those experiences in many ways have prepared me mentally for dealing with such situations that I sort of find myself in to this day.
Well, you mentioned the term. It's the name of your TV show, Engine Addict. You are a self-confessed engine addict. What is your favourite sort of engine? You know, what really gets you going? What do you love to work on? What do you love to strip down? What's the Jimmy DeVille favourite?
Well, I suppose going on with sort of what we were speaking about before about getting out there and sort of saying hello to the world, it's doing something new and something different. You know, I'm learning every day about engines. And you know what? I might be an engine addict, but I also go out there and meet some incredible engine addicts. And I like to learn from them as well. But just to do something new, push something in a way it hasn't been pushed before, find a new goal. You know, amazing people have explored the world and done some cool things with machines without machines. And for me, the possibility of doing something myself, just drives me forward. To drive an airboat up the Iguazu Falls like I did on Engine Addict, the first airboat to get as far as I'm aware up a rapid and a spectacular one like the Iguazu Falls in Brazil. Was an incredible experience, I did many other exciting, fun, challenging things like that on the show.
Yeah, it would be a pretty hard job, Jimmy. We don't know how you do it. It's just, you know, it must be a terrible life you leave with all these experiences.
You got to take the rough with the smooth.
You mentioned the 50s and the 60s. Do you think that, and sort of wanting to get back to that, do you think those days are over, especially from a car perspective? I mean, you know, we're moving towards hybrids and electric cars, where really it's kind of a set and forget.
I don't think they're over. I just think as humans, we constantly reinvent. Computers, certainly for me, they challenge what I love about engineering, because, you know, my car now, it has a fault. I have to plug it into a computer, where before I could take it apart and nuts and bolts. Mm. So it's certainly changing the way. But then also, as the human race, the way we're integrating with computer technology now, I think for my generation, we might struggle with it a little bit, but for the next generation, they're not getting it. So for them, I think they're going to have similar experiences. It's just because my generation, you know, when I was at start of school, we didn't have computers. I mean, I remember the first computer coming to school, but now it's common day play. So I think really the young generation, they're going to experience it in a modern day way. You know, electrical cars will be as exciting, and there'll be the challenges they'll be able to do, push those in ways that, you know, we haven't dreamt of. So I'm sure they'll have the possibility to do what we did with petrol-powered cars in the same way. I don't doubt that for one moment.
Yeah. And I think the internal combustion engine is going to be with us in one form or another. In some way, we can still tinker with them and mess with them forever, I think. I think they'll be here for thousands of years.
Oh, absolutely, 5 years. I think also that it's really important. I mean, I'm a self-confessed petrol head. I think it's also important, though, that as a race, you know, we can't keep polluting our wonderful world. We've got to improve on what we do. You know, we've done incredible things with combustion engine, and we should absolutely celebrate that, love it, rejoice it. But, you know, as a world as well, I mean, do you remember when the first electric car people said, that'd be rubbish, that would be no good? And they're already incredible. They're already going at incredible speed. They're already working for longer. And I think we'll push the boundaries. I don't think the future is electric cars or battery-powered cars. I should say battery-powered cars, because it might be electric, but not battery-powered. Mm. I think we'll improve upon that. But we have to find new ways to stop having the impact we have on this incredible planet we live in. And we've got to, as a world nation, we've got to grasp that, you know, go out there and do it and enjoy doing it and be creative with that. But this shouldn't mean that we shouldn't celebrate the combustion engine and all the amazing things we've done with it, because it's ridiculous what we've done. I mean, I believe that the combustion engine, in many ways, has made us all superheroes. I mean, I can fly from England to Australia. You know, I can be with you guys in a day. Mm. I mean, that's ridiculous. Mm. You're a long way away.
Yes, you are a long way away. That's right, Jimmy.
Yeah.
No, it's an incredible time. And even over the last decade, we've seen an awful lot of change. And it's been really interesting to watch it come through. What's in store for the next season of Engine Addict? Looking forward to it.
I'm treading in the footsteps of some incredible guys, John Cobb, Donald Campbell, and an Australian guy who, hopefully I'm going to pronounce his name right, Ken Warby, who all built speed record boats using jet thrust power and jet engine. Ken Warby in Australia has set the current record in 1978. Donald Campbell and John Cobb, two British guys who both died in 1952, and Donald Campbell respectively in 1967. I built my own jet thrust boat from a Rolls-Royce Viper jet engine, took that on Loch Ness in Scotland to see what I could do and just experience a little bit of what those guys experienced, and that was incredible. I jumped a car powered by a Volvo engine up a very Iguazu Falls, the largest body of water traveling over a waterfall in the world, to tackle rapids below that in an airboat. I believe the first person ever in the world to do that. So that was an incredible experience too. One thing I certainly did is push some incredible engines, some very iconic engines, to their absolute limit. And in some cases, like Austria, where I took a KTM 125 engine and flew it up to 2,900 metres, I pushed it past the limit because it cut out and I came down to earth with a bit of a bump.
How's your insurance, your life insurance premium, Jimmy? You're getting out there on the edge, aren't you?
Yeah, it's not so good. I broke my leg on that one.
So, oh, dear.
Yeah, it's only pushed it past the boundary. But you know what, if you're going to push things to the boundary, sometimes you're going to go a little bit past it, but it's important. You know, this show is the real deal. We're not playing at it. I'm going all the way and I want to see what these things can do. And they're impressive engines. Sometimes they can take you a long way, but sometimes they can take them further.
Exactly. No, it's all very interesting and very exciting. It's a great show. Thank you, Jimmy. It's been great catching up with you. Look forward to the next season of Engine Addict.
Thanks a lot, Joel. Great talking to you.
BehindTheWheel.com.au